Bigs.
With Mully and Haw.
Bigs time.
The Bigs Report.
With Brad Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Bigs.
Brad Bigs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the score. Brad Bigs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check him out, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, we're celebrating the glorious victory for your Chicago Bears. I don't know how glorious it was, but they needed that victory. They had lost two in a row, and now all of a sudden they're off to their best start in the Matt Eberflus era at 2-2.
Had to have that victory. And, I'm not going to sit here and call a week four game in late September a must win, because I think that's a little bit disingenuous. And, we tend to get caught up in the moment much too much and overstate things because it sounds important and grandiose and great. But the reality is a 1-3 start is generally a harbinger of a lot of bad football to come. Since the league expanded to a 14-team playoff system in 2021, so over the last 3 years, teams that begin the year 1-3 are 12% to make the playoffs. It's like three for 25 rebound to make the playoffs, and I think another maybe four. I don't have it in front of me right now. Rebound to have a winning record, fall short of the playoffs. So to get to 2-2, to avoid that 1-3 pitfall where you're a minimum of 2 weeks away from getting even again, I think was significant.
All right, Brad, from an offensive perspective, after the long week they endured, what was the biggest source of progress in your mind?
Well, they get some balance offensively, being able to run the football and have some success running it. Now, listen, that's a bad Rams run defense, just like the Colts defense they encountered the previous week was bad, but they got the job done. They were able to have balance. You talk about having 28 carries, 23 pass attempts, DeAndre Swift going for 93 yards, finally getting that big hole on the inside zone and the 36-yard touchdown. I think you saw his ability as a home run hitter, which is what they called him when they signed him in free agency and paid him an awful lot of money. So I think them being able to achieve some success on the ground and by doing so become balanced is easily the biggest takeaway. And they've got another bad run defense coming up this week in the Carolina Panthers. You couldn't have sat there back in the spring and handpicked a better start to the schedule for them, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, Big Z, we were talking about it this morning. You think about their schedule, and I get it. You know, it will turn when you get to division play, but that's well down the road. This is an opportunity to build some momentum. You know, I know the Red Rifle will be out there on Sunday, but that's a winnable game. And then you go to London, and that's a winnable game. You got the bye week. I'm just saying it sets up for momentum, for confidence, for all the things we talk about in a good football season.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a chance for some growth, and guys can learn through some mistakes and hopefully be playing better football when that slate of division games, which is, it's interesting, you know, they don't have these division games early on. They're all sort of packed in the back half of the schedule. Be playing better football at that point in time, because Carolina this week, then a currently winless Jacksonville team over in London, the bye, a trip to the Commanders, then a trip to, I want to say, Arizona. And then I think the Patriots are in the mix for Matt Eberflus's team. So opportunity to get some momentum. But, hey, listen, they're not good enough at this point to do anything but look at what's right in front of them. And that's a Carolina team that's going to visit on Sunday.
Two of the most impressive plays to me, or at least memorable, were the ones that Doug Kramer lined up at fullback, because it was a declaration that we're going to do this, try to stop this, and the Rams couldn't. So all the things that we were clamoring for throughout a week of consternation with the offense, they just lined up the mini fridge and let him go. What was the genesis of that idea, Brad? What'd you find out about it, and how did Doug Kramer adapt to life as a fullback?
Yeah, Doug said, you know, it's something that they've had in previously, maybe involving some different offensive linemen. He was happy to do it. Wasn't sure the opportunity was going to pop up this week. I kind of joked with him about maybe getting the ball in his hands, but he said he's just worried about blocking someone and kind of more focused on being a center. But, hey, they had – It looked like they'd done it before, right? Sometimes you see that big body in the backfield, and you're like, okay, this makes a lot of sense. This guy ought to be able to open up a hole, and it doesn't happen. The guy doesn't run with good pad level, maybe doesn't know where he's going, uses poor footwork, all of those things. Like sometimes it just looks really bad when teams do that. Well, you know, Doug had his hand in the dirt. Kept his pad level down, got moving forward, and I think Roshan almost fell on his back in the end zone, and then he executed, I thought, a decent block to keep the edge defender out of there on the third and one when they used it a second time, which I believe that was for a 3-yard gain for Roshan. So sort of a natural fit, maybe, because Doug said on the freshman team at Hinsdale Central, many years ago, they moved him around a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit, including into the backfield.
Yeah, I thought it was great, and I really enjoyed it, but I hope that they're not going to hand the ball to him or try to throw the ball to him. You know what I mean? Like, I like a gimmick a certain amount, but let him prove his metal blocking, and maybe he'll end up as the starting center before it's all over. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, you know, didn't Matt Nagy have, like, those lineman touchdowns in consecutive weeks in 2018? That's when everything was cooking for the Bears. Everything was looking up back then, and they're trying to get back there. They had to win this, you know, because it's a really well-coached Rams team, but, man, are they shorthanded. Like, I knew they were shorthanded coming in. Then you watch them, and slow linebackers. Cats you haven't heard of that Stafford's throwing the ball to, some of them anyway. They've used three starting left tackles this season, three starting left guards this season. The two centers, the current one, is the rookie sixth-round pick. So the way that's set up, they had to get a win here.
So speaking of offensive lines in disarray, Tevin Jenkins with the rib injury leaves. Matt Pryor moves over to the left guard. Nate Davis goes into right guard. Brad, overall, how would you evaluate the play of the offensive line, and what can we expect moving forward?
Well, I think you're going to expect teams to continue to try to bull rush them. And you saw them have some issues with that when the pocket started to condense on Caleb Williams. It was, there were power rushes. I thought Jared Verse gave some problems to Braxton Jones in that regard. And that I would think that opponents look at that as a way to kind of keep Caleb in the pocket. They don't want to let him extend plays and make some of those second reaction throws that he can turn into highlight plays. But I thought the line was okay. Yeah, you got an issue with Tevin being out, more moving parts. I would guess that after the bye week is when you'll probably start hearing talk about a potential return from the IR for Ryan Bates and Larry Borum, so they'd have some more options. But way before we get there, you got to hopefully get an understanding for what's going on with Tevin, who had started the first four games of the season for the first time in his career, right? That the availability has been a storyline for him, and everything was looking good. And then it was on that first zone read keeper that Caleb had, which that's a big play, right? Fake the handoff, keep it, zip around end, and slide down. Protect yourself. 7-yard gain. That's the kind of thing that will help their running game as a whole, because defenses are going to have to realize that, hey, we're going to have to honor this. This guy's athletic enough to hurt us, and it's on tape now. So I think that was big. But on the backside of that play, Tevin's engaged with this outside linebacker, and it kind of looks like he falls. And so it's a rib injury, and maybe we'll get a little more information today, but it might not be till Wednesday.
We talked a little bit about the punter, about the game that he had,
how he controlled
field position. And, you know, you use a fourth-round pick on a guy, you want to see that kind of game, right? And that was a really good game.
Yeah, one of the interesting things, when I talked to LeVar Woods, the Iowa Hawkeyes special teams coordinator back, I think it was during the Senior Bowl, I actually had a conversation with him, and I've known LeVar for a long time. He said one of the things that Torrey was really going to have to focus on when he made that adjustment to the NFL was consistency with tight spirals. That, super strong leg could get all the hang time you could ever desire as a special teams coach, and the ball placement and things of that nature. But one thing that maybe needed to be tightened up was the consistency with those spiral kicks. And man, did he nail it with that 66-yarder. Just crushed it. And, you guys have probably heard the same thing I have. Well, fourth-round pick, why didn't they take an offensive lineman? Why didn't they get an edge rusher? Well, those are lotto picks for those positions at that point in the draft. And no one can deny the needs that they've got at those positions, but you could also take the 122nd pick, get a punter, and feel like, you know what, we might have one of the very best ones in the league here in no time at all, that this guy's that talented. And now you see why they call him a weapon. Like that 66-yarder goes out of bounds at the 8. Then he hits another one as high as you can hit a ball at Soldier Field, as high as I've seen a ball go. And it comes down at the 8, but not just touches at the 8. It's the crazy ability he has to control it. It's almost like he's got the thing attached to a drone. And so it's not going for a touchback. The Rams are backed up in their own end. They get they get Darrell Taylor matched up on the left guard. He pulls a spin move. All of a sudden he's in Matthew Stafford's lap. Ball comes out, and it's an easy pick for Jaquan Brisker. Game over.
This segment with Brad Biggs, sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals. Available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. All right, Brad, where are you with the communication between Caleb Williams and everybody else? We saw maybe with DJ Moore, it wasn't quite there at the pass at the end of the first half. Could have been a touchdown, but there was a little miscommunication DJ Moore alluded to earlier in the show. Then you wonder about the 5 pre-snap penalties. How much of that was adjusting to a different cadence? Who's in charge and who's to blame there? Because those are too many. You can't have that kind of sloppiness. How about communication issues?
Yeah, well, communication was the word that everyone wanted to use in the building this past week, right? From coach to player and player to coach. And it seems like they were able to make some legitimate strides forward. If they try to make that their buzzword every week, I think that's probably going to grow a little old. And it might not work. I don't think they can lean on a come-to-Jesus meeting with the play caller very often and that be productive. I mean, you guys have been around. Normally, when you hear about this, leadership council or players only meeting or something like that. And it's early in the season, and prepping for week four is early in the season. Like, that sounds great. And I think people love to hear that. And I think a lot of times it's a sign of, oh boy, there are some rocky times ahead. But if Sunday's performance is a clue to what we might get, maybe this is this goes more the other direction, and they can get some things straightened out. But yeah, the pre-snap penalties, they've just had way too many. And if you could just single out one guy and say, well, shoot, they've got 11 of them and he's got six or something, that would be delightful. But that's not the case. They've all kind of taken turns doing that. And yeah, in terms of the passing game with DJ, shoot, none of the wide receivers really were getting the ball downfield yesterday. The passing game still looks a little disjointed, and you're concerned about the protection, right? And that probably goes into it as well. But if they can continue to have success running the ball, and they don't have to be monsters on the ground, but just where they're able to be balanced, I think that's going to hopefully speed up some of the advancements in the passing game, because they're just going to be able to keep opponents on their heels a little bit more by being balanced.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. Difficult to pick between the positions, but who had the bigger game, Taylor or Swift?
Oh, boy. I don't listen to that crap, man.
But you meaning the music or Molly?
That's a sincere question. It was a big Swift game.
That's a good question.
What is wrong with you?
That's a good question.
Daryl Taylor had a pretty good game too, right? Like Floos, I'll tell you what, Floos loves that guy. Like Floos just gushes when he talks about Daryl Taylor and kind of that energy that he's got. You see it on the field, and what Floos will tell you is that it's there on the practice field too. It's in the meeting room. Like, this is a guy who arrived after final cutdowns via trade, and sometimes you see a player get into a new spot and he's just kind of trying to find his way and learn who people are, and it's just real kind of cautious. And Daryl just comes in, and Daryl's going to be who Daryl is. And he's embraced it. They've embraced it. He's got, what, two sacks, I think three quarterback hits through the four games. But something to just keep an eye on, and I don't want to dwell on it, but the run defense that was top-ranked in the league last year, guys, they're 17th right now going into you got a doubleheader of Monday Night Football this evening. They're 17th, giving up about a – I don't have it in front of me. I want to say it's about a $120. Wow. A game, and so, that's something that I'm sure Eberflus wants to get ironed out a little bit, because Jonathan Taylor had 110 of Indianapolis's 150 yards on the ground last week, and Kyren Williams got to, what, 94 yesterday with L.A. averaging about 4.6 a pop, so just something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. Why is that?
Their backups have not played well against the run, in my opinion. Okay. Like these guys that they're playing in waves have struggled at it. Same personnel for the most part as a year ago, same scheme. Who's out? Well, Justin Jones is out, and he kind of plays the three technique for them as a guy who was probably miscast and is more of a nose tackle. So when Jones was on the field last year next to Andrew Billings, you basically had two nose guards in the middle there, and that's tough to run against. Now, they weren't getting the push in the middle, the interior pass rush that they desired, and Javon Dexter has really looked good, tied for the league lead among defensive tackles with three sacks. He's getting pressures. He's got win rate. You like all that. But the run defense needs to be a little bit better.
Fair enough. Thank you, Biggsy. We appreciate it.
Good stuff, Brad.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune.
I think he's trying to say that Matt Eberflus thinks of Daryl Taylor that he is all that in a bag of chips.